Blog Talk Radio.
Was that commandment really new, and was it the audience that he was talking to?
that, you know, he was saying this commandment to. But there was really no new commandment given. So we're going to look at what this means in the scripture on this evening. So we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you be in North America or South America. We want to recognize those individuals in those countries that are listening to the broadcast via the internet and are not able to call in, but we want to acknowledge you and encourage you to stay in the Word of the Most High and to spread the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, so we want to welcome our listeners in Algeria, in Belgium, in Brazil, in Canada, in Colombia, in Denmark, in Finland, in France, in Germany, in Ghana, in Ireland, in Japan, in Mexico, in the Netherlands, in Nigeria, in Poland, in Portugal, in Russia, in South Africa, in South Korea, in Sweden, in Tajikistan, in Thailand, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, and in the Republic of Vietnam. We greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach and want to encourage each and every one of you in your walk, and that you are learning to fear the Most High and keep His commandments. So we're going to be talking about this on this evening. There is no new commandment. And this message is specifically to the churches, the saints, you know, that are in the churches that believe that they are not up under the law, that believe that, you know, Messiah came and gave new commandments. If you really study this word out, then you understand that the requirements in the New Testament are way stricter than the requirements in the Old Testament out of Torah that he gave us. But we're going to look at what were the commandments that were given. We're not going to go back into Torah and look at all of the old commandments. Not what I'm saying. But you are instructed in the New Testament that there is no new commandment. Okay. And so, but it tells you what commandment was given. And so we need to look at that so that we have an understanding that as believers, both of the Old and of the New Testament, that we are walking according to the Word of the Most High, and that we are not misinterpreting the Scriptures, and we're not trying to use the Scriptures to not do. So, you know, if you don't read, there are ministries out here that don't read the Old Testament, don't read Torah or the prophets. All they read is the New Testament. And let me say it once again, if I haven't said it before, I'll say it now and keep saying this. And you cannot properly interpret the New Testament without the Old. It is just impossible. And so if that's how you are developing your doctrine, your belief, then you will never come to a full understanding of the truth and the gospel of the Word of the Most High. But we're going to use the scriptures on this evening. This is the morning according to the Word, the beginning of the day, according to the calendar of the Most High. Nevertheless, in your evening, on this evening, we're going to use the Word of the Most High to show that there was no new commandment given, just that there was no the law would not be deleted, the law would not be done away with. And then what are you commanded to keep? If you're trying to look just at the words of Messiah, then you're going to find that he didn't tell the disciples everything. And he later sent word to the disciples, through the disciples, of what you were actually supposed to be keeping. So we want to look at that on this evening. So I pray that you are ready, that you have pen and paper, that you are ready to write these scriptures down. This may come across kind of harsh for some. Nevertheless, it is what it is. On tomorrow morning, we will be doing, I started off doing the promises of Yah, what he promises to those that love him, you know, so that we can stay encouraged and have a positive message that, you know, the Most High, for those that love him, what he promises. And I'll do that on tomorrow morning. But as I was putting that together and, you know, trying to refine it, the Most High came with this. And so, you know, we have to be faithful to the Spirit and what the Most High would have us to say on this evening, what we will do. We will stay faithful to him and, you know, what he once said. As I said, I started off on one precept and ended up, you know, in this one. And so this is where we're, what we're going to do. And I want, you know, each and every listener, as I said, to have pen and paper to write this down, because a lot of the times we can only come to truth in the scriptures based upon the filter that we use to read the scriptures. And so if we have a filter on that, you know, the law is done away with and we're no longer under the law and, you know, we're just to love one another, love the Most High and love one another. But then what I know is that in each individual has their own definition of what love is. And then, so if that's the case, then you need to find out what is the definition of love that the Most High, what is his definition of love? What does he use? And so we're going to read that on tonight, what he says is love to him. Because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we want to see what, how does he define love? And then are you loving him that way? Because that's what's going to be important to him. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and they tell you this is what they need to consider you to be loving them, because their definition of love could be different than yours, and they tell you this is what I need, this is what I want, and if you do this, then I'll consider that you love me. Okay. Some people don't know. They got a clue what you know, what they think love is. They just, it's just love. You know, and it's a feeling that I get, but they can't really define it. They don't really know what they want. But the Most High knows what he wants, and he tells us clearly what he wants. So no matter where you're at in the world, I have put into this broadcast and on the announcement, we have probably now 5 different ways that you can participate. Listen to the broadcast, whether you call in 2 different numbers or whether you are on the internet and you come into the meeting room or you go online to YGKM, Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, all caps. You are able to anywhere in the world. You know, it may not be convenient for you if you're overseas. It may be late for you. Maybe you can catch the broadcast in the morning, but you can listen in live through any of those media. So, you know, we wanted to make this word where, and this ministry where, it is available no matter where you're at in the world. That you don't just have to download a broadcast and then listen to it, you know, take your notes from that. That is another way to listen after the broadcast is done, to download it, and then you can listen to it, you know, over and over and over again and take your notes that way. But if you want to listen live, no matter where you're at in the world, then we have one way or another that you're able to do it, no matter where you're at. As long as you can get to the internet, you can do it. So we're going to ask the ladies to cover their heads, men, uncover your heads, as we go ahead and start this Shabbat off. This is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For somebody went to bed last night and did not wake up. Somebody woke up and didn't make it until this evening. So be thankful that you are yet here and are able to worship the Most High and to observe his Shabbat, for this is a Sabbath that you shall not see again. Won't see another Sabbath until next week, but you won't see this one again. So this is a day that Yah Elohim has made, and let us rejoice in it and be glad in it. And if we are not right with the Most High, let us get right with him, starting this day, this very minute. But we can have the ladies to cover your head, men uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe that there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the only wise and true potentate, the only true Elohim, a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah Elohim. We just lift you up and we glorify you, Father, and we adore thee. We extol thee. We magnify thee. You are the great I am. You are the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. You are the wise and true potentate, the only Elohim that there is. And you are the only one, Father, that we will bow down to and we will show adoration to and that we will worship, Father, and we will obey your voice because you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we are repenting of our other. Our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into every nation. And we will be so grateful to you, Father. Hear our supplication and our prayers. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you have called in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, that they would come and obey and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. And, Father, let Brother Miles decrease on this evening and let you increase, that it would be you that the people would hear from and not Brother Miles. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar, as we are commanded.
So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high
to worship you.
My
knees
all praise
to you.
Up high. I vow to be humble, Yah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise, I raise to worship you. Bow down, all praise to you. Up high, to worship you. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, I need you, oh.
Sure.
Microcosm of the world. They're an example of the world. They're just a small cutout section. Most of them says, I'm taking these people, I'm going to make them my priesthood. And they're going to be the example, and they're going to teach the world my statutes, my laws, my commandments. They're going to show the world how to worship me. Only problem is Israel didn't do it. Okay, that's the only problem. But that is whatever he told Israel is what he wants the world to do. And we got to understand that. So let's go to the book of John chapter 14. You're going to stand, we're in John chapter 14 already. We just read verse 15. Drop down to verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, again, this is Messiah. He that has my commandments and teaches them and keeps them, he it is that loves me. So if you have the commandments of Messiah, and we're going to, you know, this is going to, might shock you. You might say, oh, well, Messiah just said, keep these six of the commandments. And then he said, love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all I got to do. No, you're going to find out that that's not, you know, he was given a summary and an overview. But through the Holy Spirit, he sent back and told us exactly what we had to do. Okay. So let's read that verse again. John 14 and verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to see Messiah? You want to hear his voice? You want to have dreams and visions, then you need to keep his commandments. Drop down to verse 23, John chapter 14 and verse 23. Drop down to verse 23. Yeshua answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words. I mean, you can't drum this into somebody. You can't say it enough. If any man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keeps not my saying, keeps not my word, keeps not my commandment. Say, we are not up under the law, we're not up under the commandment. When we try to do away with the law, which is, the law is his commandments. It's not just the 10. It's all of his commandments. We're going to find that out. Okay? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, or keeps not my words, keeps not my commandments. That's what he's saying there. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So this word is coming from the position of Father. Which is the same, you know, he's telling you, in the Old Testament, in Torah, you didn't know me as the Son. Israel did not know the Most High as the Son of Elohim. They only knew the Most High as the Father or as the Almighty from those positions. So when he says, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me, the Father said, I change not. I don't change. I'm not giving you a new message. I'm not giving you new commandments. I'm not giving you a new word. I'm extending grace to you and giving you a period to come to me. I'm giving you a period that you can repent and come back and keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. I'm giving you a period that you can come back to me and come out of sin. But we're going to read these things so that we can have understanding. The same one in Torah. Messiah said, okay, from this position, these words are not mine. These words are from the Father which sent me. These words are from the Father. And from that position. So what I told you in Torah, I'm telling you the same thing right now. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey my voice. Do what I tell you to do. Don't add to it or take away from it. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The Most High has mercy and is going to have mercy on them that love him and keep his commandments. Not them that say that they love him and keep not his commandments. Let me say that again. The Most High is going to show mercy and have mercy on them that love him and keep his commandments. Not on them that say that they love him and keep not his commandments. You got to understand that. So when we are in the New Testament and we say, hey, I love the Most High with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And then in the very same time, don't keep his commandments. Then, my friend, are you a liar? You are a liar. And the truth is not in you. That's the word of the Most High. Matter of fact, I didn't put that scripture in here, but let me get that scripture real quick. Go to First John chapter 2. We're just going to read this. I already had this in here. We'll put it in here a different way. Okay. Go to First John chapter 2, starting verse 1. And I was going to single just one verse out, but I remember when I was doing this, I can't single it out because there's some verses in here that we need to read to get understanding. So 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, that you sin not. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is not keeping his commandments. Sin is doing whatever's right in your own heart and not doing what the Most High says. So he says, I write these things unto you that you sin not. If sin is the transgression of the law, I write these things to you that you keep the law, that you keep the commandments. And if any man sin or if any man does not keep the commandments, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, for our sins. Now, we might read that and think that he's the propitiation for all of our sins, past, present, and future. But we've done this lesson enough and these lessons enough, and if you've listened to this ministry and it's teaching enough, then you know that Messiah is not your propitiation for your future sins, especially if they were willful. He's your propitiation for future sins if they were ignorant, meaning you didn't know. Because once you confessed everything that you knew, you were confessing, I understand that I'm a sinner. I'm a transgressor. I know I've done wrong. And you're asking the Most High to forgive you. And he says, now I understand that you confessed everything that you knew was sin. But you didn't know everything. So the day that you learn what else I required, you needed to repent of it and turn away from it. And I am true and just to forgive you. That is the way that he operates. So we have an understanding of that already. So when we're reading these scriptures, you know, we might think that Messiah is, if any man sin, and we just leave it at that, if any man ignorantly sin, we have an advocate. Because the scriptures teach us if we if we willfully sin, there is no more blood for us. So we got to make sure that we keep the scriptures straight. He's a propitiation for our sins that are ignorant. Now, the first time we come to him, when we first find out who we are, that we're a sinner, then he doesn't really care whether it was ignorant sin or whether it was willful sin. I'm extending grace to you. Whether you sin ignorantly or willfully, this one time, I'm extending grace to you. And I'm going to wipe the slate clean. After that, you can't sin willfully. You can do it, but if you do it, there's no blood for that. There's no covering for that. So we got to understand what the scriptures are saying. So he's a propitiation for our ignorant sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When the world realizes that it is in transgression of the Most High's law, and these things that they have done willfully, Messiah will forgive them that one time. And then he says, now come and learn of me. Learn those things that I say are right and wrong. Then do right. And anything that you learn that you're doing wrong, repent of it and turn away from it. And I am true and just to forgive you. I'm not suspending the law so that you can just do what you want to do, and I'm not going to charge you with it. That's not what's going on. I'm not doing away with the law so that there's no law. So if there's no law, there's no sin. I'm not doing that. The most not doing that. So you can learn of your sin, you can learn of your transgressions, and then those that you learn of, you repent of, and you turn away from them. Okay. And hereby we do know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. So to not keep his commandment, you sin. And he told you, I'm writing these things unto you that you sin not. He that said, I know him, and keeps not his commandment. Brother Miles ain't calling you a liar. The Most High is calling you a liar. Messiah is calling you a liar. The word of the Most High is calling you a liar. I don't care if you are a bishop, if you are a deacon, if you are got the title of pastor, teacher. I don't care who you are, what title you have. If you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you, whoever you are. Now, that's the word of the Most High. If you teach that you are not up under the law, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. That's the bottom line. If you teach that all you got to do is confess your sin over and over and over again, even those willful ones, and he is true and just to forgive you, then you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. I want to make sure that we understand that. And I want to make sure that if your pastor is teaching you that, if your elder is teaching you that, whoever is teaching you that is lying to you, and there is no truth in them. The Most High, Messiah, is not going to advocate for you if you're doing something willfully. Oh, yes, Father, that one, they know what they're doing, but forgive them. Messiah said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. let's say it another way. Forgive them, for they are doing this ignorantly. That's what he would forgive. But if he had said they know what they're doing, he would not have asked the Father to forgive them. It would be contrary to the word of the Most High, because he never has forgiven willful sin. So even when they were killing him, he said, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They are ignorant. But you need to flip that around. Had they known what they were doing, he would not have forgiven them for it. He said, this is willful. You have full consciousness of what you're doing, and you're doing it. Had they known who they were killing, they would not have killed the son of Elohim. They didn't believe it. So he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But if you know what you're doing, the Most High has never forgiven that, because you are just flat out in rebellion. You know this is wrong, and you're going to do it anyway, you are choosing to rebel. So if your pastor or anybody's telling you that it don't matter, we all get weak, we slip, we fall. The Most High didn't say that. The scriptures don't say that. The scriptures say, hey, if you know what you're doing, you didn't have a moment of weakness. You chose to do that thing. And you are in outright rebellion is what you are. So he that says, I know him and keep not his commandments, you are a liar. You've been reading this book and you don't know the Elohim, the God of this book. You don't know his plan of salvation. You don't know the gift that he's giving you by wiping your slate clean and allowing you to come back to him. And you don't care. It's not valuable to you. You're going through the motions. Trying to use the scriptures to control people, to get their money. Because if you tell them this, most people ain't going to hang around until they get serious with the Most High. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. And for those of you who don't believe that telling a lie is a sin, then all liars are going to the lake. So when you repent of lying, you better make sure that you repent of it and go back and what? Lie again? Because see, when you lie, it's willful. You know when you're lying. Now, when somebody tells you something and they tell you an untruth and you take it for the truth and you think it's not going to be on you because, hey, I just repeated what they said. The Most High says, you can believe a lie and be damned. Yep, you can believe the lie that your pastor told you. You can believe the lie that the elder told you. You can believe the lie that your brother told you, your sister told you, and end up in the lake. You can believe a lie and be damned. Verse 5, for whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, or truly, is the love of Elohim perfected. You want to learn how to love the way the Most High says to love? You got to keep his word. You got to keep his commandments. You got to do it the way Messiah said to do it. He came to be an example to us, to straighten it out for us. Y'all done gone off the reservation. Y'all are sheep that have left the herd. You running wild in the wilderness just waiting for something to kill you. I came back to save you. Keep the commandments of the Most High. Then will you learn how to love like the Most High loves. The love of Elohim will be perfected in you as he wants it to be. Hereby know we that we are in him. If you keep his word, then you know you're in him. If you disobey, you are not in him, no matter what you say. You telling yourself a lie to feel good about you. That's all that comes down to. You're lying to yourself, feel good about you. If you don't keep his word, if you don't keep his commandments. So this thing is not hard. It's very simple. And why does the world want to not be up under the law? Why does it want to be in a state of disobedience, in a state of rebellion, and then say that they love the Most High? Verse 6, he that saith he abides in him ought himself to walk, to also walk, even as he, Messiah, walked. Did Messiah go around sinning? The scripture says no, he didn't sin. And you're to walk as he walked, not sinning, not in transgression of the law. You know, it amazes me that we just feel like, well, you know what? If we take those verses that say we're not up under the law and we don't have to keep the law, then we don't have to keep it. That is written to reveal what's in your heart. You never intended to keep the law. You never wanted to. That is the problem. So you'll read those few little verses, come to that conclusion, and all the verses that tell you to keep the law and to keep the commandments, say, hey, if you love me, this is what you'll do. It ain't about you loving him. It's about you doing what you want to do. That's what you have made it. And that's where the church is at today. I want to be blessed. I want to have wealth. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have to, I'll give some, but I don't want to have to suffer, and I don't want to have to obey, and I want to keep doing what I was doing before. And I know that some of these things are wrong, but I enjoy doing them, and I just want to keep doing them. So I'll slip and fall and say, I'm sorry when I'm only sorry that I got caught. Till you get caught, you wasn't sorry. So this is what the Most High is saying. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's continue here. And he that says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, what does it say? You are a liar. How they say it in the world? You a damn lie. You're a liar. And I want every saint to hear that and understand that on this evening. You got to come out from that. You got to get away from it. You got to come into truth. The law was not done away with. The law was changed. That's all that happened. The law was changed, but not done away with. So the ordinances and stuff that were done away with, people want to say, oh, all the law was done away with. The ordinances that were nailed to the cross. People want to say all the ordinances and the laws were nailed to the cross. Not what he did. He took those charges that were on your record and wiped those clean. The charges, the judgment. He nailed those to the cross. But he didn't do away with the law. He didn't do away with the commandments. Because if he did away with the commandments, it would make no sense in the scriptures anywhere in the New Testament where it tells you to keep his commandments. If you ain't up under the law, it makes no sense whatsoever to tell you to keep the commandments. Makes no sense whatsoever to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. It makes no sense whatsoever to tie your love for him to obeying him. If it don't mean nothing, if it don't count for nothing. So the law was changed. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Get two verses, verses 11 and 12. The law was changed. And why was it changed? Change is not a deletion. Change is not a voiding out. Change is a modification to. That's what that word change means. To modify. Not to void out. Not to get rid of. So the law was not voided out. That's why it says, does your faith make void the law? Elohim forbid. But we want to take, well, you're not up under the law. I ain't got to do none of that stuff. I ain't got to keep that. I ain't got to try to keep it. You are a liar. And the truth is not in you. I don't care who you are that's teaching that. It is a satanic, and anybody who hears it and believes it and walks in it is only committing themselves to the lake of fire. The Most High and Messiah would not tell you, if you love me, keep my commandments, and then say, the law is void. You don't have to keep it. And then those people who want to say, oh, well, you know, it's only these laws we got to keep. No, you won't find that in the scripture either. But let's find out what law, why was the law changed? Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Why do we need, if perfection was by the Levitical priesthood? It didn't say the law. Did you receive the law up under the Levitical priesthood? But who did the Levitical priesthood see the law from? The Most High. But because I'm making a change to the priesthood and the things that they are doing, I need to make a change in the law, not a voiding out of the law. Let me modify this. I require men to make sacrifices every day for sin. But I'm going to change the priesthood. I'm not voiding out the law of sin. I'm not voiding out the law of sin if you transgress my law, that is, you don't have to worry about it. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed. We're coming from under the Levitical priesthood up under the Melchizedek priesthood. under the Melchizedek priesthood, Messiah being the high priest. His blood paid for all sin once and for all ignorant sin, one time for willful sin, and after that, all ignorant sin is based upon the individual. So you as an individual, the day that you came to Messiah and you confessed your sin, you confessed those things that you knew you were doing wrong, because you didn't know what all sin was. You only knew what you had been taught. And if you had not been taught the law, you had no clue. None whatsoever. So you were confessing what you had been taught was wrong. And you were confessing what you felt in your heart was wrong. He said, I know these things I'm wrong with. I'm guilty of. I'm a sinner. But that don't mean you had a knowledge of all the law. That don't mean that you knew every requirement that the Most High had. So he says, you come and confess your sin. I am true and just to forgive you. This one time, whether it was willful or whether it was ignorant, I'm going to forgive you. Now go and get that goat. Go and get that sheep. Bring it to the priest. Confess your sin. He's going to shed the blood of this animal. It's going to cover your sin. You're going to transfer it to this animal. Because now, up under the new priesthood, you don't need those animals. Those animals didn't sin against me. A man sinned against me. And I require the blood of a man. Without sin, without blemish. Therefore, I had Messiah to come into the world. Therefore, was I born into the world without sexual intercourse where a man and semen was involved. Because that would be unclean and it would be sinful. And I have to be without blemish. So I had to remove the man from the equation. Place myself in the womb of the woman. And be born sinless, without blemish. And walk a perfect life and stay what? Without sin, without a blemish. I ask the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. The blood of a man with no sin. And I'm going to become the high priest. So I'm going to change the priesthood. We're going to get rid of these animals. And we're going to change the law where you don't have to use these animals. If you come and you accept me as your Savior, as your Redeemer, you confess your sin, come up under the blood, I will wipe your slate clean. Now go and sin no more. All those things that you knew were wrong, don't do them again. You confess you knew that was wrong. And I will send you somebody to teach you what else is wrong, what else you're doing that you're not supposed to do. Because you're doing that ignorantly, and I am true and just to forgive you for that. That has been the way that I have always operated. I've always operated that way. So that those things that you confessed, that you knew were wrong, and you came to me and you got baptized and I wiped out your whole record, go and sin no more. I'll send you somebody to teach you the other things that you need to know if you diligently seek after me. If you diligently seek after me. If you seek me with your whole heart. I'll send somebody to tell you the truth. I'll make sure that you don't stay in a state where you can be sinning and on your way to the lake. Redeemed. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. Get rid of those animals. I required men to do this because the man, the earthly priest didn't sacrifice himself and pay the price. He had to make a sacrifice of an animal for himself. And they make a sacrifice of an animal for the people. And I allowed that animal's blood to take your place for ignorant sin. I never allowed a disobedient, willful sinner in Israel to bring me a sacrifice for sin. I didn't allow it. I said, your iniquity will remain upon you. Your sin shall remain upon you if you did it willfully. I didn't change that under this new priesthood. I actually made the penalty work. And I made the requirement work. Made it stricter. Not, I'm going to take away that word worse. I made it stricter. So I did not void the law out. I didn't say your faith was going to void the law out. You're going to become a lawless nation, a lawless group of individuals and say you belong to me and you don't obey me. That's a lie. That's a lie, and you don't know me. You know something that somebody told you, but you don't know me. And the truth is not in you. Somebody done lied to you, and you don't have any truth in you. You might be genuine in your heart. I believe what they told me, Most High. This is what they told me. And I believed it. But just because they told it to you don't make it the truth. And you're living a lie. And that lie is going to cause you to go to the lake. That lie is going to cause me to deny you, to disown you, to say, hey, I never knew you. Not as one of my children, I didn't. I knew you as somebody disobedient. So I'm not voiding out the law. And I'm not giving any new commandments. We're going to read this. Because the church will read right over these verses and be like, we don't know what that means. That can mean this, it can mean that, it can mean a lot of things. No, let me tell you what it means on this evening. Yeah, Elohim. So we don't play with this. What were the changes? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. There weren't very many changes to the law. He definitely did not void the law out. And he definitely said that your faith does not void out the law. That when you have the correct faith, you establish the law. Because you're going to do it. You're going to keep it. You're not going to remain lawless. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Modification to the law. Jew, don't go and mix with those Gentiles. Don't go and learn about their God. Don't go and learn how they worship their God. Don't even go and ask them how they worship their God. I'm going to make a change to that because I need you to take this message to the Gentiles, and if you can't go among them, you can't tell them. So this is a change to the law. It's not a deletion of the law because you can still apply that verse. I don't want you going amongst evil people. Because the Most High cares about people who will do good and people who do evil. And he wants you to hate people who do evil and love people that do good. So he changed it from Jew and Gentile to bad and good or evil and good. Same law. The same principle of that law. But he modified it and said, hey, I'm not going to tell you not to go amongst those wicked and evil Gentiles now, because they will not receive salvation if you don't go among them. And I'm opening up salvation to them, so I need to modify the law that says, don't go and mix with them. Don't go and eat with them. Don't go into their house. Don't go into their sanctuaries. You go into their sanctuaries, you better go into their sanctuaries with the gospel. What are y'all doing in here worshiping Buddha? Don't you know that Messiah has come and he is the only way into salvation? What are y'all in here doing worshiping yourselves? Don't you know that Messiah has come and he is the only way into eternal life and into salvation? And if you go up in their places, then you better go with the truth. Better not go up in their places learning how to worship their God and how they do things. So that law hasn't changed, but the spirit of it, the spirit that the Most High always intended was Israel would not go amongst the nations and learn how to sin. Because everything that the nations were doing was sin. It was in transgression of the Most High's law. Don't go and learn what they're doing. I'm showing you what's right. I'm showing you what's righteous. I'm showing you how not to sin. Now don't go amongst them and learn how to do it, how they're doing it. Now I want you to go among them now and give them the gospel. Teach them my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances. I'm modifying, I'm changing that law. You don't have to sacrifice animals. And don't teach them to sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of their sins. Teach them that they just need to believe in the Messiah, in Yeshua HaMashiach, and that his blood is the payment for sin. Take away those animal sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It never was. The Most High used it and said, okay, I'm going to allow you to make atonement this way. And it was only for a year. Only for a year. He says, I'm sending Messiah, the perfect sacrifice. And now you don't have to do these animal sacrifices anymore because it was for a time and a period. So I'm going to, it's not that there's no sacrifice required. It's not that there's no blood required. I'm not changing or voiding out that law that it takes blood to pay for sin. I'm saying I'm no longer taking the blood of bulls and goats, of animals, for sin. I'm only accepting the blood of Messiah, the blood of a man. And you can't pay for your own sins because you are blemished. You are not perfect, and I need a perfect sacrifice for sin. So I'm going to change this law. I still need blood, but we're going to change it from the blood of bulls and goats to the blood of a man, the blood of Messiah. It's a change in the law. It's not a voiding out of the law. This is what was modified in the New Testament. Hey, you can go out into them Gentile nations now. I told you as a priesthood you couldn't. I told you as a nation, don't mix with them. Don't learn their ways. Now I'm going to send you amongst them with this gospel by the law. I told you, you had to use bulls and goats to atone for your sin, that I would stay among you. Now I'm modifying that, and the only thing that will correct your situation with me now is the blood of Messiah, a modification to the law. Still need the blood, just not of those bulls and goats. So let's change the paragraph right here. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, they being Israel, stumbled, that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall, through Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, to the nations, for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. And it served a couple of purposes, but the jealousy wasn't to a change in the law. It was the change here is that salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Salvation was not for the Gentiles, for Israel. And up until this point, truthfully speaking, the only way that a Gentile could be saved was to join to Israel and agree to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and if you were a male, to be circumcised. Then he said you could come close. That was the only way. Other than that, it wasn't open to the nation. It wasn't available to them. They weren't trying to worship the Most High. They weren't trying to keep the commandments. They were making up their own gods and their own rituals and their own sacrifices. The law. Not avoiding out of the law. He didn't say no Hebrew Israelite couldn't be saved. He didn't say Israel couldn't be saved. He didn't dump them as priests and say, hey, y'all just done with. I'm not saving none of y'all. I'm only saving these Gentile nations. Not what he said. I'm going to modify this law. Israel, you got to do what I told you to do. And you got to accept Messiah. And now I'm opening this thing up to the Gentiles, that they might receive salvation also. But up under the Torah, that was not available to the Gentile unless they joined to Israel. And if they joined to Israel, then they could make sacrifice. They can have sacrifices made for their sin. Israel could. And they were to be as one in the land. So it's not a change in the law. Now we're going to open it up to the world. And you don't have to become a member of Israel. And for salvation, you don't have to be circumcised. But if you want to be a priest of the Most High, if you want to come close, if you want to keep his feast days, his Passover, his Pentecost, his Feast of Trumpets, Tabernacles, then you were required to be circumcised. That law didn't change. It wasn't deleted. He says, but for salvation, to keep your butt out of the lake of fire, to enter into his kingdom, circumcision is not required. And so anybody that tells you to be saved, you got to be circumcised, that's a lie. But if you want to keep the Most High feast days, such as Passover and things like that, you must be circumcised. He says you'll learn about that. So don't put these unnecessary burdens on them. Just teach them, don't eat animals that were sacrificed to idols. Teach them that to don't eat blood. Teach them to love me and keep my commandments. If they do these necessary things, then they can be saved. But we're not going to require them to be saved, to be circumcised in the flesh. Now they want to come close, then the law didn't change. You want to come close, it's over. You want to keep the heave offering, which the church calls Easter, which is thinking about that. Then that is a feast day for Israel. It has always been a feast day for Israel. And the Most High says, you want to come close like that, then your males must be circumcised. So as they learn and they want to come close, then they will do those things. Don't want to come close? Most High says, you still got to keep my laws. Still got to keep my statutes and my commandments, my ordinances. We're going to read this. Look at another change. Go to the book of Acts chapter 28. A change, not avoiding out the law, but a change to the law. Acts chapter 28, starting in verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked Elohim and took courage. And when he came to Rome, now Paul has been taken to Rome because, you know, they accused him of, you know, transgressing and breaking the law of Rome. And Paul saying, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't judge me here. I appeal to Caesar. So he ends up going to Rome. And this was the Most High's plan for him. You will go to Rome and you will testify there. And so Paul has to get there. So he has to provoke, he has to invoke his Roman citizenship. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was a prisoner, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. These other prisoners were Jewish prisoners, and they had transgressed the law, but they were being sent to Rome to be judged. Paul had invoked his Roman citizenship, and they're like, well, wait a minute, this guy's a special case here, and we're going to keep him up under guard. But he was in his own little place. He wasn't sent to prison. The Most High had it to where Paul was going to be able to do the work that was assigned to him. Verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. Remember that in Messiah's day, Israel was actually in all the nations of the Mediterranean. There were Jews in all of the civilizations, in all of the countries that are around the Mediterranean, in Europe, some in Asia. But he said, hey, don't go to Asia yet. There's some wickedness going on over there. I'm not offering them the gospel yet. I'm not offering them the kingdom yet. Don't go there. But I got Jews in all these nations. So Paul is at Rome and there's Jews there. And he's got to preach the gospel to the Jews first before he can even give it to the Romans. Those that are Gentiles. So he's there 3 days. He didn't start preaching the gospel and giving it to all the Romans, no matter where they were from. He was there 3 days, and he called who? The chief of the Jews together. The gospel and salvation is first to the Jew and then the Gentile. Paul couldn't break that. So he gets into Rome. Let me call the Jews. Let me call my fellow kinsmen. Let me keep the commandment of the Most High. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, against our people, or customs of our fathers. He's not talking about the Roman Empire. He's talking about Israel and his fathers, the Hebrew fathers. Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now it's his own brethren that accused him of teaching Jews to break the law, and they wanted to kill him. He said, I had to appeal to Caesar just to escape from them. Now, when you go read the story, that's what you'll find out. I had to appeal to Caesar to escape from my own countrymen. But it was the will of the Most High. So he said, you're going to go to Rome and you're going to preach this gospel. And you're going to do it exactly the way that I told you. You're going to bring it first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go. The authorities would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. The people wanted to kill me. They accused me of teaching my fellow countrymen that they didn't have to be circumcised. That commandment was to the Gentiles. It wasn't to a Hebrew. A Hebrew had to be circumcised. They're still up under the law. The law of, that's really a law in the covenant of Abraham. Abraham, and to your seed. Everybody who is part of your seed must be circumcised to receive a promise to the land. The land, everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to your seed, to your descendants. Want to have a claim to the land of Israel? Then you got to be circumcised. To those Gentiles that want to have a claim to the land of Israel and have a portion in the land of Israel, they got to be circumcised. Whether they were bought with money or they joined by willfully, had to be circumcised. And this is what Paul was teaching. But if you're a Gentile and you don't want to be a citizen of the nation of Israel, and you want salvation, it's not required for you to be circumcised. But they accuse Paul of teaching the opposite. People are going to kill him. So he appealed to Caesar so that he could get to Rome, where the Most High wanted him at. Who, when they had examined me, verse 18, would have let me go. The Romans down there said, hey, we don't find no, you know, even King Agrippa, we don't find no cause. We don't find you guilty of anything of death. They might have flogged him again or something, just for getting, you know, you an inconvenience. But he was a Roman citizen, so they were like, oh, well, wait a minute, we can't flog him either. Because when they flogged him, and that Roman centurion or the head jailer in Jerusalem found out that he was a Roman, he got very afraid. What, we didn't hit a Roman? So they may not even have flogged him. They're going to let him go. Because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. I'm not bringing any allegations against my nation, but, hey, they want me dead. For this cause, because he said, I'm not going to Jerusalem to make an accusation against Israel. But I appeal to Caesar, number one, because Most High wants me to go there. But number two, I need to take the gospel over. Number three, to get away from these Hebrews that want to kill me. So they'll kill me before I even get to go on the mission. Because therefore have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. I'm coming to bring the gospel to Israel, to you Hebrews, to you Jews who are in foreign land, who are in Rome. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning you. We ain't got no letters from nobody in Israel talking about you, Paul. Neither any of the brethren that came, showed, or spoke any harm of you. So there's been some other people that have been to Rome. Ain't none of them said nothing about you for or against you. But we desire to hear of thee what you think. For as concerning this sect, the Christians, the believers in Messiah, that's the sect they're talking about, those ones that we, you know, that the Romans have been taking and throwing into the arena with the lions and crucifying upside down and burning and stuff, this sect, we know not everywhere it is spoken against. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. So we've heard about what you're talking about, but we ain't heard nothing good about it either. Everybody's talking against it. And when they had appointed him a day, you can come see us on Thursday, and this is Brother Miles making up a day. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses. They don't know nothing. There is no New Testament. There's only the law. So he's got to convince them out of the law that Messiah is, that Yeshua is the Messiah. And out of the prophet, from morning till evening. So Paul has got his work cut out for him. This prophecy is about Messiah. This is how Yeshua fulfilled it. This prophecy is out of Messiah. This is what Moses said. This is what Isaiah said. This is what Zechariah said. This is what Ezekiel said. Every place, this is what Isaiah said. Everywhere there was a prophet that prophesied about Messiah, Paul is showing them and convincing them. Okay. Verse 24. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not, just like today. Everybody ain't going to hear the truth and believe it. But to whoever the Most High gives the understanding, he has to give it. So some of them believed it and some of them did not. And when they agreed not among themselves, what? Some conflict and confusion among them now. He has split the ranks. Some of them believe in the gospel. Some don't. Some believe that Messiah has come and he's Yeshua, and some don't. So now they're arguing amongst themselves. They're not on one front, you know, as a community. They departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Still going on today. Hearing you shall hear and not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. Can't understand what you're hearing, can't understand what you're seeing. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So Paul is just quoting what? Isaiah? Messiah quoted Isaiah. And when anybody hears the truth in the gospel and can't understand it, because it's not given to them to understand it. Messiah said that. It is not given to them that the prophecy might be fulfilled. But it's not just for Israel. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of Elohim is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. This is a change, because salvation was first to the Jew. Now because this people's ears are waxed gross and they can't hear the gospel, they can't receive it, Their eyes are blinded. They can't see Messiah. So there were a few that believed, and more than not, more that did not. Few of the Hebrews, so that salvation can come unto the Gentiles. It wasn't for the Gentiles before this time. It wasn't for the Gentiles before Peter, before the Most High gave it to Peter in Acts chapter 10. It wasn't for the Gentiles, wasn't to be released to the Gentiles. So this is a modification, a change to the law. Now I'm going to change who salvation is to. It's not just to the Jew, but it's also to the Gentile. Under the law? Said, under the law, the only way that a Gentile, one of another nation, could even hear the laws of the Most High was to join themselves to Israel and agree to obey them. Then they were to be considered as one born in the land. The same law would apply to them, the same forgiveness for sin. That's the only way. They couldn't say, oh, I'm a good person in this land, and I'm going to go to wherever good people go. It was not available to them. So the Most High had appointed a time and a place. So what was the old commandment? Because we're going to read some verses, and we're going to find out that, hey, I didn't give you a new commandment, which is why this precept is called that. No new commandment. Commandment to love your brother is not a new commandment. That was in Torah. But that commandment, when Messiah said it, a new commandment I give you, now he's talking to the world. First to the Jew, now to the Gentile. So let's read this, because now we get to the crux of this precept. And we are in the book of 1 John chapter 2. The book of 1 John chapter 2. We'll get verse 7. We've already read verses 1 through 6. We're going to read verse 7. This is the crux of this precept. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. No new commandment, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, which you heard from the beginning. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. This is the old commandment. This is to the church, to the New Testament saints. A new commandment I'm not writing unto you, but an old commandment. I'm reiterating an old commandment, which means that the law is not done away with. Let me reiterate the old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel. You want to know what you're supposed to be keeping, Gentile? Listen to what I told Israel. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. I love them that keep my commandments and do them. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Most High told Israel, hey, I'm going to have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. He told Israel, these are my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my judgments, for to do them, keep them. Gentile, you want to know what you need to do? Church, you want to know what you need to do? Unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for you to do them. Not for you to say they're void. Not for you to say you ain't under them. You ain't under the punishment of them until you break them again. That you may live. Even all of Israel, even the Gentile that wants to join himself to Israel, wants to be close to the Most High, shall go in and possess the land. Israel don't like to tell people that, but that's in the scriptures. They shall have whatever tribe they choose to join to, excuse me, whatever tribe they choose to join to, they shall get a possession in the land in that tribe. The Gentiles that join themselves to the Most High. So this is the same. Go that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yah your Elohim of your fathers give it to you. I'll have to find the verse. I think it's in Ezekiel 44. It tells us that all the Gentiles who join themselves to Israel, that they shall get a possession when the Most High reestablishes Israel and puts sets up his throne in Israel, that those Gentiles that join themselves to Israel will also receive a possession in the land. This land belongs to you. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And verse 11, it's going to be a resounding theme here. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments. You love me, keep my commandments and statutes and judgments. Because Israel failed to keep the commandments. Israel failed to keep the statutes. And Israel failed miserably to keep the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. But the church ain't keeping them either. And saying that they love him, that you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 22. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments, over and over and over again, keep these commandments which I command you to do them, to love Yah your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Keep his commandments. To do them. Not to void them out. Not to say, hey, that was for them Jews. That ain't for us. I ain't giving you no new commandments. Giving you an old commandment. The old commandment is to obey the commandment. And we hear that. The old commandment is to obey the commandment. Where the Most High modified them at, you're not going to go back into the law and start sacrificing sheep and goats. And don't do that. That's a modification. Not a voiding out of the law. Hey, Gentiles, the Jews can bring you the gospel. And the gospel is going to spread into all your nations. That's a modification. Not avoiding out of the law. It's a change. The Most High told Israel, hey, if you do these things, you shall have salvation. You shall be blessed. But now I'm also giving it to the Gentiles. To keep my commandments and to do them. Where in the world is the church getting? They don't have to obey them. They don't have to keep them. They're voided out. He said, no, your faith don't void out. If you're living by faith, your faith does not make void the law. It establishes it. And you're going to do it if you obey. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yah his Elohim, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, not to void them out, to do them. That's the old commandment from the very beginning. So how in the world, church, are you coming up with, I ain't under the law and I ain't got to keep it? No, I'm not giving you a new commandment, but an old commandment. Go back and learn these laws, statutes, ordinances of the Most High and do them. Then you won't sin. He said, I'm writing these things unto you so that you don't sin. Well, we ain't under the law, so it don't apply to us. Oh, yes, you are. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 9. If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love Yah thy Elohim and to walk ever in his ways, or always in his ways, then shalt thou add these 3 cities more unto thee besides these 3. Talking about the sanctuary city for those people who were accused of, you know, an innocent crime that was worthy of death. But they were innocent and they were going to run. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all these words of this law to do them. See, the church want to teach that if you keep the law, then you're cursed. You're not under the law. And if you try to keep the law, you're cursed. No, the exact opposite. If you don't keep the law, if you don't keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, and his judgments, then are you cursed? They want to flip that thing around in the New Testament. They want to read it and flip it, but he told you, I didn't give you a new commandment, but an old one. Obey the commandments of the Most High and do them. Because if you don't do them, you are cursed. They got people teaching that, hey, if you keep the law, you curse. They are a liar, and the truth is not in them. It's not in them. They are taking those verses because the New Testament is written to show what's in your heart. It's to show what is truly in your heart. Is it in your heart to keep the commandments of the Most High, or is it in your heart not to obey them? To keep doing what you were doing. To keep the ways of your father. To keep the ways of your forefathers. And they say you believe in the Most High. And this is what people are doing. They say they believe in the Most High. And in some ways they're fearing him, but they're still worshiping their own gods. Worshiping the gods of their fathers. Worshiping the traditions of their fathers. So understand that the Most High wants you to keep his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his ordinance, them. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 21. And he suffered no man to do them, his laws, wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, to teach them how to govern correctly. to do them. Not incorrectly, but correctly. Psalms chapter 103 and verse 18. The book of Psalms chapter 103 and verse 18. To such as keep his covenant. If you keep his covenant, then you're agreeing to do his commandments. And to those that remember his commandments, to do them. This is who the Most High loves. This is who he's with. This is who he has mercy on. This is who he's going to save. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 21. 21. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, the children of Israel. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them. When you don't do what the Most High says to do, when he says, I have judged in this matter, if X, Y, Z happens, this is what you to do. This is why I want, how I want you to handle it. That's my judgment. And you go do what you want to do. He said, you have put your righteousness over his righteousness. This is what Israel did. No, Most High, I know more right than you do. I know better than you. Verse 21. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath. We ain't got to keep the Sabbath. And when he says Sabbath, he's not just talking about the 52 weekly Sabbath. He's talking about all the Sabbaths, the feast days that he gave. Passover, the heave offering, which the Christians call Easter, Pentecost, the Feast of Unleavened, the Feast of Weeks, the Day of Atonement, the New Moon. Says you polluted my Sabbath. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. The Most High has, if we don't do this, he is not with you. See, the world wants to keep their own Sabbath. The world wants to make up their own holidays and throw some paganism in with them. So I said, I gave you every holiday I wanted you to observe. And so Israel is supposed to know what they are and keep them. But the Gentile nations needed to learn what they were and to keep them. Oh, no, we, you know, them Jews keep it like that. We got our own god, Mithra. We got our own god, Zeus. We got our own god, Mercury, or Ashtar, or Molech, pure god. And we're going to keep our own, we're going to keep our same holidays. We're going to keep the same traditions. And we're going to do the same things we did to our God and say we worship in your God. Polluting. Let us change the day of worship. Let us change the Sabbath day from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. And let us go and do what we want to do on his Sabbath. Let us work and let us, you know, seek our own pleasures and our own ways. Let us do what we've always been doing and pollute his Sabbath. We'll make up our own that we'll try to keep, but we're going to pollute his. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. We'll close this up. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. This is to Israel and to the world. Because you're commanded to go back and do the first commandment. Keep the word of the Most High. Don't void out his law. So he has set before the world a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim. If he's your God, then a blessing if you obey his commandments. 28. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, other gods, which you have not known. Now for the Gentile nations, they knew other gods. They were supposed to denounce those gods. Turn away from worshiping them. Don't combine their stuff with the Most High. The world has chosen the curse. We ain't up under the law. We ain't got to obey those commandments. But you're serving this God, and he says, obey me. He says, keep my commandments to do them. I'm not writing a new commandment to you. This is an old commandment. And really, when you go back and look, the first commandment that the Most High gave Israel is to obey the commandments. That was the first commandment he gave them, to obey the commandments, start giving them the commandments. So the world, the church, just like Israel, has a choice. The Most High has set a blessing before them or a curse. The same as he set before Israel. A blessing if they obey the commandments of Yah, their Elohim, which Moses commanded, which Messiah did not void out, just modified and changed them. Made changes to the law, but didn't void out the law. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah. This is to the church. Say, hey, we ain't up under the law. So all those things that say we ain't got to do, the same thing you got to do. So all those things that say they love the Most High but don't obey his voice. I don't care what church you're in. I don't care if it's Baptist or Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian. I don't care. If you say you love the Most High and keep not his commandments, he says you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. And the truth can't be in you if you don't understand that you got to keep his commandments. There is no truth in you. And you're teaching everyone lies. The word of the Most High says you are a liar. I don't care what your rank is, what title you've given yourself. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Understand this, that if you don't obey the laws, the commandments of the Most High, this verse that people have been teaching that, hey, you ain't under the law, and if you keep the law, you're under a curse. You came up under a curse under the law when you disobeyed the law and you didn't keep it. He's commanding you to keep it and do it and establish it out of faith in what Messiah did. People are taking what Messiah did and spitting on it. The very sins he died for, they're turning around and recommitting willfully. He said, you spit on what I did. There ain't no blood for that. That ain't coming up under the blood. That ain't ignorant. That's willful. And there ain't no blood for that. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not. He told you to do them. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. A new commandment, no new commandment I give you, but an old one. keep the commandments of Yah and do them for your curse. I don't care what you're telling yourself. Messiah said, don't, hey, if it's saying this stuff, let them say it. Don't beat them down, because I'm going to judge them. And I'm going to judge them according to their works. And if your work earn you death because you didn't obey, you didn't keep the commandment, you were disobedient, he says, you were in me, but that's what your judgment's going to be. That's what your judgment's going to be. And your name is not going to be in my book. I'm going to blot out your name from my book because you were disobedient. Yeah, you believed in me and you got baptized in my name, and some of you received the Holy Spirit. But then the more you were disobedient, the Holy Spirit left you, just like it left Saul for disobedience. So, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, and I'm not teaching you no new commandment. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. Father, it has always been your desire that men should hear your voice and to obey. You started off with the nation of Israel as a nation to be your priest, to teach the world your statutes, your laws, your commandments, your ordinances. And Father, they were a stiff-necked people. And Father, you said because they rejected salvation, rejected Messiah, Father, you cursed our forefathers and scattered them amongst all the nations. And then you allowed this gospel, the gospel of salvation, to go out to the Gentile nations. Today they call themselves the church, Father. Father, as it be your will, if there be anyone that is in the church and they're listening, Father, let the blinders fall from their eyes. Father, open their minds and give them understanding. Give them ears that they may hear. If there be a Hebrew Israelite that is listening, that is still walking in unbelief, Father, that they should keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments to do them. Father, unstop their ears even now. Open their eyes and open their understanding. That they will come to you, Father, in spirit and in truth, to obey your voice, to keep your commandments, and to do them. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, we will do the promises of the Most High. If you love the Most High, he has promised some things to us. We want to reaffirm those things. We want to look at what the Most High will and is and obey his voice, because we already know. If we don't know that if you are disobedient to the Most High, you go into the lake of fire. He's not having mercy on you. No matter how much you might feel, he's going to have mercy on you. If the truth of the matter is you are disobedient and you are willfully disobedient, if you choose to remain in ignorance, if you choose to believe a lie, then you go into the lake. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And all the things that the church claims while they're walking in disobedience, all the blessings are for those that are obedient. So we want to look at those promises. I don't speak on them often because the Most High, my ministry is to convict people, to have you to turn to the Most High and to learn to fear him and keep his commandments. to walk in all his ways. Because if you don't do that, these promises don't mean anything to you. They don't mean anything to you because you're walking in disobedience. So may the Most High bless you from all hurt and harm. Whether it's seen or unseen. And remember, I love you. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. All I can do is teach you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Keep his commandments. Fear Yah. Walk in all his ways. And do. Be a doer of his word and not just a hearer. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. See you in the morning. Yah bless you and keep you all. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand.